This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can do that by sharing it online. Leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify, where you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave some links in the description so you can do just that. But for today, it is April the 9th. That means our date, the word, is coming to us from 1 John 4:9. You see how that works? It says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him.
The truest and most perfect expression of love was God sending Jesus to be born as a baby, to live a sinless life, and to die on the cross for our sins. I mean, that is the epitome of love, in that we are supposed to emulate that in laying our lives down for another person. Now, we are not necessarily called to die for another person, but we are called to put ourselves, to die to ourselves, to put our wants and our needs on the back burner and love others. Love there is not a feeling, it's an action.
That's right. And it says that we might live through him. It's another action, you know, so we have a response, is that we live good and holy Christian lives.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that sometimes we can be in danger of missing, is that we put so much emphasis on what Christ has done for us, which is rightly so, that we forget our follow-up, our participation in the Christian life. So if God has done this for us, it's not so that we can just take a back seat and cruise until we get to heaven. It's that we have a life on mission to live. And so that's sort of an encouragement for me today, remembering that my life and what I do in this life matters.
That's right.
And if you guys want to follow us along with these Date the Words, you can do that with the free Date the Word app. In fact, this episode is brought to you in part by that app. You can download it for free right now on iPhone and Android, and every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you.
I am ready for harvest.
Yeah, because it's Tuesday. And everybody knows what Tuesday is.
It's harvest time.
It's time for the grapevine.
Welcome to the grapevine. Boink. I got a gripe.
Go for it, my friend.
I have five children, but that's not the gripe.
Yeah, because I like your five children.
I do too.
One of them gets on my nerves a little bit.
Mine too. I won't tell you which one.
No, they're fine.
I love my children, and this is true of any child, especially elementary aged kids.
Sure.
If you send your kids to school, they're going to be walking petri dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, you're going to get sick.
Yeah, you gonna
you're
get sick,
going
man.
To catch all those elementary illnesses that you thought
now,
you had
made.
Now, if
you send them to public school or private school?
Yes.
Both.
If they're surrounded by other kids, they're going to get sick. Yeah. It's just, it is the nature.
That's true, man. Yeah, they're going to get sick.
It's going to happen. And the thing is, like, you know, you can take precautions and you can take all the vitamins and you can have all the medicine on hand. You can catch it early. But especially if you have multiple kids mm-hmm. and or many kids in the house, it's going to bounce from person to person to person to person to person.
Are you sick?
Currently, no.
You were. Holy moly.
As I sneeze.
Why did that happen? That was so impromptu. I thought you were doing a bit for a second,
nope,
but that was
for an actual sneeze. That was an actual sneeze.
Yeah, I'm going to do the rest of the episode like this.
We can attribute that to the pollen in the air.
Can you still hear me okay if I talk like this? You can? Okay.
That's not an illness. That's just the pollen.
Wow. All
yeah. over the air.
Oh my goodness. The pollen in the air. I can't believe that's not your gripe because the pollen in the air has been insane.
It's bad.
I read a report that said, that said that it was the worst it's been in decades.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It looked like the apocalypse the other day.
It's terrible. It's yeah. awful. The wind blows and the wind is yellow. The wind is yellow and the cars are yellow and the air is yellow and I'm yellow and everything is yellow.
What did your kids get you sick with, man?
This particular go around, and I'm better now, but this particular go around was strep throat.
I remember having strep throat a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
How was it?
Bad. It was bad. It was terrible. Wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Ryan, would you say that the weather's Opa Coldplay style?
It's all yellow.
It's all yellow.
Yes, very nice.
Bro, why did you?
Well done.
Very nice.
Well done.
Very
nice. Very good.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. And yeah, that's pretty bad. See, my kids, the gripe that I have with my kids' sickness is that they just pass it around and it doesn't go away. It doesn't usually come to me.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm thankful for that. However, I don't like that Holden will get it and give it to Gavin. Holden's now better. Gavin will give it to Ellie. Now Gavin's better. Ellie will give it to Holden. Now yep. Holden's better. And I mean, now Ellie's better. And it just goes in a circle
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So sickness in our house can literally, it will last for like a couple of months.
Yep.
And maybe two people will have it at a time. But I sort of feel left out. I sort of feel left out.
Don't.
Because now I'm taking care of somebody at all times.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Nobody has to take care of me. Because I'm not sick.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's one of those things, if you have little kids, you get past it eventually, but man, we're not there yet.
And when I get sick, I don't know if this is a genetic thing, I don't know if this is just circumstantial, but when I get sick, I'm really sick for like a day, maybe two. Ellie gets sick, and like I said, they're just passing around. That goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Is that like that in your house?
Not really. I mean, Elizabeth rarely ever gets sick.
Yeah.
She'll get a sniffly nose every now and then, but I feel like her immune system is just like superhuman. I don't know.
Yeah.
She doesn't normally catch it.
Man. Dr. Shaw doesn't get sick very often.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time he took a sick day.
Yeah.
10 years. I don't think so, man. I think he just does his push-ups and sit-ups and drinks plenty of juice.
Yeah. That's it. That's
what you
the secret.
Do. That's
if you're
you
feeling
do.
Bad, do your push-ups and sit-ups and drink plenty of juice.
There you go.
That's the key. Write in and let us know if your kids are the culprit for illness in your house.
Oh,
because
man,
I need some. I need someone to share in my misery. I need some commiseration here. Write in and let us know 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. 5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, welcome back to the table. It's good to see you,
my friend. Good to see you as well.
I wanted to ask you this because we were talking about this in the intro today. You had four kids. That's a lot of
still
kids.
Still do. He still has them.
Yeah, you had four little kids at one time.
Ron has more.
They were all at the house.
Ron has five. You have two.
I got two.
Yeah.
And so when they get sick, right, it's just a matter of time. The clock's ticking. Parents are going to get it. It's going around the house.
Yes. Sweet little walking petri dishes.
Who would go down first, you or Nicole?
That's a great question. When they were young, I don't know how that worked. Nicole didn't get sick that much. Mm-hmm. Not that I remember. She had allergies, but she didn't get sick that much. And then something changed and she wasn't as allergic as she used to be.
Right.
With pollen and all that.
Right.
And then I became a principal.
Uh-huh.
And that was...
that was it.
That was it.
I
was
frying pan into the fire.
It was pretty much every fall I would get sick twice.
Like clockwork. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Every time.
One was going to be sometime... in October, a little bit, and then right before Christmas, first week of December, I would get really, really sick.
It's incredible. It's incredible how like just like a small population can even like you think of like all the plagues throughout history and how they just ate through cities. But even like a small population, like a school, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And it seems like the scale is almost comparable.
That's
you know what I mean?
Well, I hope people don't judge us too harshly.
Yeah, we
because we did not wrap up the discussion yesterday, but it was so good.
Yeah.
I felt like it was yesterday. We were going to have a special guest on today's episode because of some scheduling conflicts. You know, we've moved that episode to next week. So that is still coming.
It's coming. Don't judge us too harshly for that.
Right. But we want to pick up the discussion on judging.
Actually,
harshly.
Wait a minute. Don't judge us at all. No, you can judge us.
You can judge us. But if we're going to judge you with the same measure.
You get to judge a little bit,
right.
But be careful.
We're going to continue the discussion from yesterday. Dr. Shah, in line with yesterday's episode and then today's episode, what encouragement do you have for our listeners and viewers today?
Well, the encouragement is this, that when you are humble and you are on the receiving end of, say, judgment, somebody's talking against you unfairly.
Right.
Just know at that moment, God who sees everything is always pouring his grace upon you. So don't ever feel down or feel that this is not right. This is not fair. It's okay. Just know that God is with you.
That's right.
And he'll pour his grace on you. He will stand with you. So if God stands with you, I mean.
Who can be against you?
Who can be against you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So just trust God. If you're facing an unfair situation, somebody's harshly judging you, just know God is with you.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we tend to forget when we talk about this issue of people judging one another. You know, can Christians really judge people? Do I deserve to be judged? Can anybody judge me at all? We often take God out of the equation, even though God is the ultimate judge.
That's right. Yeah.
We tend to forget that. I'm glad that was your encouragement for today, because even yesterday, you know, when we walked out, we were thinking like, man, there's so much more.
Yeah.
That we could have said and wanted to say. And we were even talking about it. We thought we were going to have a guest today, but we were like, man, let's write this stuff down. Let's remember, because there was so much more to this conversation that just because of time's sake, we didn't get to
finish
it.
Yeah, that's right.
Such a deep issue. And it's one that like we hinted at this yesterday, but it's so misunderstood. There's such a deeper conversation than just you shouldn't judge me or you're not allowed to judge. There's so much. There's such a deeper theology behind it.
Our culture right now, and has been for several decades, is big on this. Don't judge me. Unless you walk in my shoes, you do not know what I'm going through.
Right.
And I get it. I understand. Once to truly have a sense of empathy, you have to put yourself in that person's shoes. But usually this is used to justify bad behavior,
right?
Immorality, sexual immorality, values that are contrary to not only scripture, but also contrary to the benefit of the whole society. Mm-hmm. And so this is usually said in those situations, don't judge me. How dare you? And then if they ever get a hint of the fact that you are a Christian, then it's definitely thrown in your face. See, there you are.
Yeah.
You are a hypocrite. And if that person even remotely knows a little bit about the Bible, then they will also bring it. Yeah, Jesus said, don't judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, before you try to get that speck out of my eye, mm-hmm. you should see that big log in your own eye.
Yeah.
And so that is thrown in our face.
Mm-hmm.
So in yesterday's episode, instead of diving into what Jesus was saying, I wanted to clarify mm-hmm. what Jesus was not saying.
Right. because what the world says Jesus said, he didn't actually say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the discussion yesterday about it being a family conversation, that was helpful. You're trying to apply
in your
things.
Brother's eye.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're trying to apply things in a context that they weren't meant for. That statement right. was not meant to be applied that way.
So yes, I can call people out for immorality in our culture. I can call politicians out. I can call people for behaviors that are harmful and hurtful and that go against my values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can do that. Mm-hmm. And now I need to do it wisely. I need to make sure I'm doing it at the proper time.
Right.
But I can do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that
and I'm not judging.
Well, yeah. And I would say that it's even something that you should do. You're encouraged to do. You know, Christians should be doing that more. I think it's because we've given up our voice in the public sphere that we're in a lot of the situation that
right.
that we're in right now.
That's right.
But still want to complain about it. Right. We'll complain about it to one another. It's like, well, can you just say exactly what you're saying is all good. It's all biblical. Can you just say it to them?
Yeah.
Well, no, because I don't want to, you know, I don't judge people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually it's brought up when we're talking about values, because when we speak out and say, no, those things are sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in America, you have the freedom to live as you want to. But when somebody tries to silence me for saying that, saying that you cannot do that, or it's usually because they want me to endorse their values,
mm-hmm.
or they're trying to get some laws passed that will really give them the leeway and the freedom to do anything they want to.
Right.
And this usually happens in the area of sexual immorality
mm-hmm.
or drug abuse, marijuana, things mm-hmm. like that. And that's mm-hmm. where you go, no, wait, we're right. not on the same page here.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're questioning matters of value, moral value and mm-hmm. sexual values. And I feel like those are, is it normal that those are the values that always end up getting undermined and getting attacked
yeah.
in cultures yeah. and in civilizations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And usually they throw up these illogical fallacies like, oh, well, you know, a few years ago, there were interracial marriage was also outlawed. And so are you telling me today that you're okay with that, but you're not okay with this homosexual marriage? I mean, you're judging. You're unfair. They were unfair then, and you are unfair today. And I have to remind them, you're talking about two very different things.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess that's even the thing. And kind of expand, we don't do this with lying and with cheating and with stealing from people and with adultery, but we do this with sexual conduct and we do this with, you know, drug use and all these other things. So I guess I'm just saying it seems like culturally we're picking and choosing where we want to be judged and where we're still holding on to our right to judge other mm-hmm. people.
Well, I think that's a good indication of where we are as a culture. Is everything is a gray area. Everything is up for debate. You can give ground here, but we're going to take ground here. And it's just sort of this fluid, like, I'm going to do what's right for me. You do what's right for you, but I'm going to force you to acknowledge
right.
what's right for
that's
me.
That's the key right there, which you pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
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 And yet you have life's instruction manual that tells you and lays it all yeah. out, but it's like, we're going to pick and choose which ones we don't want to.
And if you say anything, then now it's hate speech.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're going to censor you for that. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to somehow penalize you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just this morning I was looking at the situation going on with Moody Bible Institute, where a person who was teaching there back in 2017, for whatever reason, they let her go or they fired her. I'm not quite sure. I don't have the details.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's filing a lawsuit for gender discrimination because of their views on women in the pulpit or women as senior pastors or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so now that's a big issue. So the court initially, I think, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Please go check the facts. Was sort of dismissive and said, okay, fine, we're not going to discuss that. That's your the preference of your denomination or your institution. That's how you read the Bible. You have the right to do that. But then another judge came back and said, no, we're going to let that case go through and we will have to try this and see where it goes. And if it goes, then what are the implications for an institution, a church, to say, hey, these are our convictions, so we're not going to hire a person who goes against this? No, you have to.
Right.
You have to now. Why do I have to? Well, you have to.
Yeah. I guess that I think that's really the key question is, why do I have to?
Yeah.
And there really is no, I mean, it's just because, well, because it goes against discriminatory legislation. But it's like, you wrote that. I just have to do what you say.
Yeah. But yeah. It doesn't.
Right.
In this situation, that institution has the freedom to stick to their core doctrines.
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is they're going to write it. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that nothing like this happens again, so that they can have power and control over which Christian institutions let in which people.
Right.
And the problem with that is many of us as Christians or church folks are unaware of these things happening. But in a couple of years, whatever happens there becomes a precedent for what will happen to us.
Mm. Right.
So we should be involved. We should be aware. We should be talking about it, and we should take a stand.
That's my question: is what is the timeline between this legislation is here versus like this is now legislating what pastors can preach about, what churches can uphold?
Right.
I mean, how far are we from that?
Right.
And isn't this a
far-reaching implication?
Yeah. Right. And isn't this a faith-based institution?
Yes.
Like, what happens when the government starts meddling in faith-based institutions?
That's exactly what's happening.
And their hiring processes.
All under the guise of gender equality.
And aren't these the same people who would quickly point to separation of church and state?
Yeah.
Well, we convenient. Just twist church and state to mean what they want it to mean at the time.
Yeah. So this is very interesting what's happening, and it's going to have a lot of implications.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one thing for people who listening to the show, like you said, to be aware of and to start. I remember one of the things that we did back in, golly, I can't remember the year. I believe it was 2015 or 2016 when this whole thing about gay marriages started blowing up. And it was like, hey, listen, we may not need this for another 5, 10, 15 years, but we have to amend our bylaws and our, Constitution.
Bylaws, yeah.
We have to do it now. And I remember when that happened, I was very new here at the time.
Yeah, this is back in 2014.
Yes,
probably.
I think you're right. But having foresight, that was something that I took away from that, is having foresight to know this might be just a fun talking point on the news right now, but in 20 years, it's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it's all those constitution bylaws only buy you time.
Right.
It's not something that you can say, well, that's it. That's it. People are going to attack everything.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep vigilant, keep the fight, keep our convictions sharp, and recognize when these things begin to happen here and there, you're not an island to yourself.
Right.
It is going to come to you.
That's right.
I think that's one of the things that I have learned so much in my time here with you, Dr. Shaw, is the balance between truth and mercy. Mm. And we can be loving and we can be merciful and we can show people grace and we can, you know, show people the love of God, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, we're going to stand up for what's right. And we're going to push back when we're pushed against.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to go out there with flaming torches and pitchforks, but we are going to say, hey, this is the line and we're not going to give ground because we can't afford to.
Our forefathers in American history did that repeatedly. They did that prior to the Revolution, through the Revolutionary War. Since then, people have stood up and fought for our rights.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the rights we do today.
Mm-hmm.
It's ignorance when it comes to history is why people say, hey, that's just this. Like one time there was a young man that I had hired to work here with the youth. And I shared with him how, you know, these crazy things are happening, how they're removing certain clauses that protect the country, protect the church and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, ah, I don't listen to all that stuff. It's election year anyways. That's what they do. I mean, I hate to say it, but the young man is really not in ministry right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is just floating through
life.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Because he himself did not have the conviction. He was enamored by worship. He was enamored by the opportunity to lead music. But as to what is a church, what does it take to lead a congregation, what are the things that we are willing to stand for and even die for?
You'll take care of that. The pastor will take care of that.
And well, to him it was like, it's not a big deal.
This is not a big deal at all.
It was not even like, I'll take care of it. It was like, that's this election year talk.
Oh,
wow.
And it shocked me because I was like, wow, I'm an outsider. You are born and bred and raised here.
Yeah, this is your home.
And you are absolutely ignorant.
Yeah.
And it's not just ignorant, you're refusing to even learn.
Mm-hmm.
And with that attitude, being responsible for young people, you are teaching and training up another generation.
I was praying from that moment. I said, God, it's time for him to go.
Yeah.
Bring Ryan.
Right.
I didn't know Ryan at the time, so I can't say that.
Well, thank the Lord that he did.
Yeah.
But we had to go through several before Ryan came.
Well, and I think that's one of the ways that God works, is that he shows you these people that, you know, they're a problem right now. And this is something that I've seen. They're a problem right now, but they are showing you what you don't want in the people that I'm ultimately bringing to your organization or to your. Again, and this kind of ties back into what we say. You can look at that and say at the time, oh, you're being really judgmental towards that person. But God is teaching you something.
Yeah.
You know, God is not going to put those people in your life randomly and just like, he's like, I don't know why I did that, man. But you handled it pretty well. Everything has a purpose.
That's right.
Yeah.
The passage we actually started out yesterday is a little different. Mm-hmm. This is family talk.
Right.
This is in the family where don't be judgmental towards somebody's speck when you have a log in your own eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I want to point out here is both it's this splinter is what it really is. The word there, I had it written out somewhere, is and the plank, they're made out of wood. So what is very interesting in Jesus's statement is that if you're searching for the sawdust of sin in someone's life, most of the time is because you're trying to hide a huge plank of sin in your own life. Both the sawdust and the plank are made out of the same material.
Right.
So when you are so frustrated with that one sin in their life, could it be
that
you have the same sin, which is much bigger?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And it's a classic just misdirection. I just want everybody to look over there. Like, look, he's got that little thing right there. And I just make sure you just stay paying attention to that. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain with the plank coming out of his face.
I remember learning about this in a psychology course that I took. This is projection. It's identifying in other people what you don't like in yourself.
Yeah.
And I like how you've said it as well. You should take that as a warning sign.
Yeah.
Something's like, going on in you, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Something's going on in you. Like David and Bathsheba, when Nathan the prophet came to him, God sent him to confront him for his sin. Mm-hmm. What a great illustration he used, Nathan used, where he said, there's a rich man over here. He had this huge herd and of lambs or goats or whatever. And then there was this a poor man next door who hardly had this little lamb, this little ewe lamb. And the rich man had a visitor. And instead of going to his herd, he went to this poor man's only lamb, took it, killed it, cooked and ate.
Oh, bro, David was angry.
David
man.
Is angry.
He's like,
yes.
You ever see when grandpa gets mad, he just can't talk. He's like,
and his response was, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this will surely die.
So, I see David as someone in the background is like, stop.
And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now, here's my conjecture, I guess you can say. Conjecture is where you're trying to fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think David was as stupid as we think he was. I don't think he was so wrapped up in sin that, you're talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew.
Mm.
I think he knew.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's brilliant.
Yeah. I was going to say, David is no slouch. He's a smart man.
Yeah, if we were talking about Saul, then maybe I'd give you a little bit.
Saul probably would have still been
David.
The dark.
Yeah, you're right, though. That's a good point. David's not an oaf.
No.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
We tend to think of Saul as like the big, burly, oafy, like, David, like, if he knew,
brilliant.
Do you think this is him, like, just, like you said, trying to deflect or just hoping he'll get out of it?
No. I think he is going along with Nathan.
Hmm.
So you say, why would you even say that? Because you're so big on, if it's not in the text, don't say it.
Right.
Psalm 51. Mm-hmm. If you ever read Psalm 51,
pull it up.
There's so much there.
Yeah.
David, I believe, was already under conviction before even Nathan confronted him.
Mm. That's a good point.
If you want to read Psalm 51, we can do that now.
Let me pull up the translation.
Because if you read Psalm 51, it gives you an idea of how he was feeling. So if he's feeling that way and your mentor comes to you, your spiritual mentor comes to you and gives you this story, do you think at that moment you're like, it's not about me?
Mm.
No, you're like, I...
Yeah, I know what this
I
is.
I know what this is.
Yeah. It says in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies.
By the way, what is the preamble to that song?
It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba.
Yeah. Do you think David is as clueless as, like, oh, you mean me? Oh, I didn't think
y'all knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, okay.
And you don't write something like this in the throes of passion. Like, he meditated on this. He prayed about this.
Yeah. And what he says is this. This is in 2 Samuel 12:5. As the Lord lives, the man who has done this
shall surely die. The man who did it.
So he's like saying, yes, you're right. I should be killed for this.
Mm. Wow.
And Nathan's like, you know, that's not how things work, David.
Yeah.
Your son's going to have to die.
Man, so helpful. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if it was helpful in clarifying some things for you, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Tomorrow, we are talking about counting the cost, because listen, if you don't do that, then you're just going to end up doing what Jesus said. You're going to give what's holy to the dogs. You're going to cast your pearls right before the swine. But you can judge people wisely. You can do this in a very wise way. And I think we're going to culminate that conversation tomorrow.
Very nice. Make sure you guys are here. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.